fast and pray. Tell somebody, fast and pray. Fasting and prayer are a dynamic duo of spiritual in the spiritual realm. They make a powerful combination. There is something about denying your hunger for food and focusing on your hunger for God that you are tapping into a power like no other. One of my favorite stories about the power of fasting doesn't come from the Bible. It actually comes from the history books. It's something that happened in Israel in 1973. Now, this just gets me all kinds of stirred up. 1973, it was on Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, that the armies of Egypt, Jordan, and Syria joined together to attack Israel and wipe out that nation. Now, this is the amazing thing to me. Because it was on Yom Kippur, that means that the whole nation of Israel had been fasting and praying and repenting of sin for 24 hours. Soldiers literally ran out of the synagogues and went onto the front lines, having eaten nothing for 24 hours. For 3 days, it looked like the enemy was winning. But on the third day, even though they were severely outnumbered, Israel's army advanced on the enemy, and not only did they reclaim all the territory they had lost, but they ended up with more than they had before. Now, I know that sounds like a Bible story, but it's in the history books, y'all. The Word of God is true, and the principles of God are true even today, just as they were in the Old Testament and the New Testament. But there is power when the people of God fast. A fast can be an incredibly, incredibly life-changing thing. A fast has the power to recharge your spirit. A fast has the power to sharpen your focus. The fast has the power to draw you closer to God than you've ever been. And I look back over my life and the moments when I've been at the absolute closest to God, when I've felt His presence the strongest and I've heard His voice more clearly. It's more often than not during a season of fasting and prayer. Fasting has the power to give you a clear sense of direction. It even has the power to break habitual sin off of your life. Prayer and fasting are a dynamic duo. Tell somebody they're a dynamic duo. Better than Batman and Robin. So today we are starting 7 days of fasting and prayer here at our church. And this is my message for you this morning. Get ready. Get ready, because God is getting ready to do something in this church. He's getting ready to do something in your life. So I want you to get ready, and I want you to go into this week with anticipation that God is going to move and operate, and He's going to change your life. In order to prepare you for this week, I'm going to teach you for a moment about prayer and fasting. And since I preached so long last week, I'm going to give you a short message today. So y'all pay attention, all right? If you've never fasted before, let me give you the basics of what a fast is. A fast is when you go without food for a period of time in order to accomplish a spiritual purpose. Okay, so it's basically where you go for a season without eating to seek God, to seek direction, to seek a purpose in your life. And there are many different types of fast. First of all, you have the normal fast. So this is where you don't eat solid foods. Okay, but you can still drink liquids and juices and coffee and all that stuff. And this is the most common type of fast. And by the way, they had me at coffee. Okay, sign me up. Sounds good to me. So that's the normal fast. And then you have the Daniel fast. And you can read about this in Daniel chapter 1 and Daniel chapter 10. But this is where you only eat fruits and vegetables and drink water. And then you have a partial fast. And if you've never fasted before, this is a great place for you to jump in, okay? Because this is not where you go without food for a long period of time. This is where you skip one or two meals a day. And instead of eating that meal, you spend time with God in prayer, okay? And this is a good one, all right? And for the partial fast, some people, all they do is they just cut something out of their diet. So I'm going to have no sweets for the next week, and I'm going to pray. Instead of craving candy, I'm going to crave God's presence. I'm going to spend time with Him, right? Instead of donuts, I'm going to spend time with Jesus, right? So maybe you cut out soft drinks. No Coca-Cola this week. I'm going to give up. I love Coca-Cola, but I love Jesus more than Coca-Cola. Amen? So you cut out one thing. So a partial fast, you could skip, maybe say, I'm not going to eat lunch today. I'm going to go and pray. I remember when I was working at the bank, I did a partial fast where instead of taking a lunch break, I'd sit in the car and pray. And y'all would think that I would just be so spiritually and I'd be all bubbly and happy after coming back to work. No, I was miserable. I had a headache. I was hungry. I was tired. But I pressed through. Some of y'all, you're going to have a headache, be hungry, tired this week. Irritable eel, as they say in the South. Just the eel as eel can be. But press through anyway. And say, you know what, God, I'm not going to let the devil distract me. I'm not going to let the flesh distract me. I am making a decision to spend time with you. And there's something powerful that happens when you make a decision like that. So maybe you're going to do a total fast. Maybe you can do the, you know, a normal fast where you just do liquids. Maybe you're going to do a Daniel fast. Maybe you're going to do a partial fast. Maybe you're going to do fasting with training wheels. That's all right. I'd rather you start with training wheels and fall off on day one and go eat a Big Mac. Somebody. I heard a story about two brothers in our church, in our kids' church, and one is still on training wheels and the other's not. The older brother got a bicycle for Christmas, so he was learning how to ride a bike. And he kept falling over, and he kept falling over. And his little brother was sitting on his bike just making fun of him. He was trash talking, saying, man, look at you. You can't look at me. I'm riding my bike. You can't even ride your bike, and you're older than me. And his brother looked back and said, yeah, you got training wheels on. It's okay to start with training wheels. Tell your neighbor, it's okay. So maybe you're going to fast with training wheels. That's all right. You got to start somewhere, right? But how you fast is ultimately up to you. Don't come to me and ask me the best way for you to fast. That's between you and God. That is a decision that you have to make. Amen. So I'm asking you to decide for yourself how you're going to fast this week. If you've never fasted before, like I said, start small. Some of you, God's going to prompt you to do a partial fast. Some of you, God's going to lead you to do a complete fast. Maybe you've never done that before. Maybe you did the training wheels last year, and then maybe it's time that God's going to challenge you to take it up to the next level. But whatever you're feeling in your heart, follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. And by the way, if you're on medication or in a medical treatment, you need to talk to your doctor before you fast. Amen. I'm not going to be too super spiritual. Listen, the devil didn't give us the medical field. The devil didn't give us doctors. God did. They're on his side. He's on the side of healing. So you need to use wisdom too. Sometimes the voice of the Holy Spirit can sound a lot like a medical doctor. Sometimes when the Holy Spirit, there are two times in my life the Holy Spirit spoken to me recently and it sounded just like my doctor. Imagine that. All right. So anyway, that's what a fast is. But the more important question is why? Why on earth would we go without food? It's like the guy who asked the paratrooper, why on earth would you jump out of a perfectly good airplane? Come on, why would we give up eating when we have so much good food around us? Y'all, Goldsboro is blessed. I thank God for the United States Air Force, because I grew up in a town about the size of Goldsboro in eastern North Carolina, and we had about 5 restaurants. Boy, there's almost as many restaurants as there are churches. Praise the Lord. Why would we go without food in a place that has so much good food? I'll tell you why. Because there's a greater blessing to be had when you fast and you seek God. And here's the thing. Fasting is about purpose. Okay? I'm going to give you some good practical advice. I'm not going to get super, super deep this morning. I'm going to kind of glide on the surface, but this is going to help you, okay? Good practical advice. You need to choose a specific purpose, a reason for fasting. Because if you don't, you're going to be in the drive-thru at McDonald's by day number 2, okay? When you fast, you need to have a reason for fasting. You need to write down a purpose. This is why I'm fasting. This is what I'm fasting for. This is the reason why I'm doing this. Okay, don't just fast. Fast for a purpose. Maybe you have a loved one who isn't saved. You need to fast and pray that God will send somebody to share Jesus with them. Maybe you have a close friend who doesn't know the Lord. You need to fast and pray that God would give you the opportunity and the words to say where you can share Jesus with them. Maybe you have a physical need in your life or a financial need in your life. You need to fast and pray for God to provide and intervene in that situation. Amen. Maybe you need some clear direction in your life. Maybe you got some major decisions that you're faced with. You need to fast and pray. God, I need you to guide me where I am right now. It's important that you have a reason, a specific purpose for fasting. Fasting is not easy, and you've got to stay focused on your purpose when you fast. Okay, I'll give you a real life illustration. When I was a kid, my parents said, save your money. Yeah, I'd save my money. I'd save my money till I could find an excuse to spend it. Sometimes I'd save it 10 minutes. Sometimes I'd save it an hour. However long it took to get to the store, that's how long I saved my money. They would say, save your money. And I never did until I found something that I wanted. And then I was Mr. Savings. I was an expert. I had savings accounts everywhere. I was diligent. Okay, because I had a purpose to save my money. You just tell me to save money, I'm not going to save money. But if you tell me that there's something that I can have if I save up for it, that's another story altogether, because I've got some internal motivation. It's the same way with fasting. If I just tell you to fast, you're not going to do it. Or you're going to do it and you're going to hate me for it, okay? Don't just fast. Fast for a purpose. Fast for a reason. Because when you're hungry, when you're irritable, when you're saying, I wish I had a cheeseburger right now, you need to remember the purpose for your fast. You know what? I'm not just doing this thing to do it. I'm doing it for a purpose. I have a need in my life. There's somebody who's close to me. They have a desperate need in their life, and I'm praying for them. So you need to establish a purpose for your fast. Don't just try it. If you try it, you will fail, okay? But if you go into this thing with a purpose and a reason and a plan, it will work. Tell somebody, you got to make up your mind. The Bible is full of examples of men and women who fasted for a purpose. I think about Joseph. Why did Joseph fast? Joseph fasted because he was in prison. He needed to get out. So what did he do? He fasted while he was in the prison. And out of that fast, Joseph rose to a position of power and influence. Out of that fast, he went from the prison to the palace. A man named Haman in the Bible called for the total annihilation of the Jewish people. And a young teenage girl named Esther called for a 3-day fast of all the Jews in her city. And not only did God save the people from destruction, but he took the enemy's trap that had been set and he used it on the enemy. Amen. Out of a fast. King Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, he called a fast for the whole nation of Judah. Why did he do that? Because they were surrounded by 3 armies that were getting ready to destroy them. He had a purpose for the fast. In the middle of that season of fasting and prayer, the word of God came to a man named Jehaziel who said, "Hear, O Israel, the battle is not yours, but mine, declares the Lord." One of the most powerful prophecies and statements in all of the Bible, it came to them because they were fasting and praying. Amen. Hannah fasted because she couldn't have children. And out of her fast, God heard her prayer and she gave birth to Samuel, one of the greatest prophets of the Old Testament. Elijah fasted for 40 days. Why? Because Jezebel said, "I'm going to kill you." She was coming after him, so he went on 40 days of fasting and prayer, and in the midst of that fast, he heard God speak to him in the still small voice. Powerful things happen when you fast for a purpose. Think about Daniel. The Bible says that Daniel fasted for 21 days, and God gave him wisdom greater than anybody else in the whole empire. Think about Jesus. Did you know that Jesus fasted for 40 days before he ever did a single miracle? Jesus fasted because he knew that he came to earth to save humanity, and he knew that he came to do a ministry that God sent him to do, but he also knew that he had to be spiritually prepared, so he spent 40 days in fasting and prayer before he preached a single message or performed a single miracle. Fasting and prayer are important. I think about Saul of Tarsus, who met Jesus on the road to Damascus. And what did he do? He went into a fast. And in that fast, he began to transform from Saul, the persecutor of Christians, to Paul, the apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter was fasting on a rooftop one day when God gave him a vision and told him to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. Wonderful, powerful things happen when we fast and we pray. How many of you have ever gone on a fast right before a major breakthrough in your life? Anybody? I got to put both hands up on that one, okay? I hear about James Dobson. He fasted for 40 days and then he started focus on the family. A guy named Bill Bright fasted for 40 days, and out of that fast, he started Campus Crusade for Christ. My wife and I, we went on a season of fasting and prayer, and out of that fasting and prayer, God opened up the door for us to come to Goldsboro. Yeah. Listen, fasting isn't something you try. You have to fast with a purpose and a goal in mind, and when you fast with a purpose and with a goal, I promise you that something is going to happen when you fast and pray and seek God on that. And I'll tell you why I'm fasting. I'll go ahead and tell you my goal for 2018. I want to improve more this year. I want to grow more this year. I mean, I don't want to get taller. I want to grow spiritually. I want to grow in my leadership. I want to grow in my thinking and my understanding. I want God to change the way that I think. Amen. Because I want to accomplish more in 2018 than I have in the previous 5 years. That's a radical goal. I know it sounds crazy, but I have to get crazy. If it's not crazy, I don't like it. If it's not a crazy goal, it doesn't interest me. I want to go further this year than I have in the previous 5 years. I want to grow as a person. So that's my purpose for fasting. But you've got to find your purpose for fasting and prayer. And here's another principle about fasting. When you fast, you have to also pray. When you fast, you have to also pray. It's not just about removing food from your life. It's about adding prayer. Okay? You can pray without fasting, but you can't fast without praying. Amen. Those two things go hand in hand. And we're going to do a lot of praying this week. Don't be intimidated by that. Listen, prayer is just a conversation between you and God. It's not all these and thous and thine and all the King James wording. Now, I've got a lot of dear friends who pray thee and thy and thou, and they pray King James, and that's fine, but that's not how I talk. I've never looked at my wife and said, pray thee, what shalt thou want to eat tonight for dinner? Where shalt we sup this eve? Right? I don't talk like that. And I talk to God just like I talk to my wife or anybody else. It's a conversation. I talk, but you know, conversation is never one-sided. Prayer is not just about talking to God, but it's about listening. So there needs to be some time allocated for listening when you pray. Don't just talk to God, but take time to listen. And if you listen, He will speak to you. Amen. Prayer is not just about telling God what we want. It's also about listening to what God wants. That's big. Okay, you need to write that down, put it on Twitter, write it on the wall, I don't know, something. Fasting and prayer is not just about telling God what we want. It's about listening to what God wants for us. Because fasting does not change God. Fasting does not change God. He said in Malachi 3:6, I am the Lord, I change not. This is what fasting changes. It changes us. It doesn't change God, but it will change your attitude towards God, and it will change your priorities in life. So fasting doesn't change God, but it does change us. And here's something else about prayer and fasting, and somebody needs to hear this. If you're struggling with a big decision or you desperately need direction in your life, it's time for you to fast and pray. Amen. Because if you get serious with God and you pray and you fast, God will give you direction. Tell somebody, God will give you direction. I remember a time in my life when I was fasting and praying. My wife and I, we were fasting, praying. We are at a difficult place in ministry. And by difficult, I mean it was a nightmare. I mean, we struggled and wrestled night and day. We couldn't hardly eat or sleep. We were so distraught. God, we know that this is not where you have destined us and called us to be. Lord, we open the door, please. Tuesday morning, I heard a yell down the hallway from my 3-year-old. Oh, open the door. Open the door. And then nobody came and he yelled it out real loud. Open the door. Like, boy, get out of bed and open the door yourself. But we were praying, God, open the door. And when we spent 3 weeks fasting and praying, and just believing that God was going to say yes. And at the end of that fast, you know what he said? Nope. He said no. And he spoke to me, and he spoke to my wife separately at the same time, and he told us, no, not yet. You're not going to be here forever, but you're not going to leave right now because you're not ready. You have to stay. And we stayed another 2 years. And I can't help but wonder what we would have missed if we had jumped ship and moved at the wrong time. Amen. But we never would have had that clarity had we not fasted and prayed. It was in that season of fasting and prayer that God said, nope. You might not be happy where you are, but I have you where I want you, and you won't be blessed anywhere else until I say go. So fasting and prayer will open your ears to hear God more clearly. And if you're seeking direction from God, it might not always be the answer you want to hear. But if you need direction from him and you fast and pray, he will give you direction. And maybe for some of you, he will open the door. That leads me to my next point. Here's something else that comes through fasting and prayer. Deliverance. Deliverance. We see this with Jesus in Matthew 17. For the sake of time, I'll sum up what's going on. Jesus goes up on the mountain, and he takes his inner circle with him, Peter, James, and John. And they go up on the mountain to pray. And an amazing thing happens. They see Jesus transfigured before their very eyes. And Elijah and Moses meet with Jesus there on the mountain. One of the most incredible, I'm sure, one of the most amazing things they ever saw in their lifetime. And they come down off of the mountain after this incredible supernatural experience. And what do they find? They find a problem. They find an unmet need. Look at verse 14, Matthew chapter 17. When they had come to the multitude, a man came to him, kneeling down to Jesus, saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he's an epileptic and suffers severely. For he often falls into the fire and often into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him. Now, according to the Bible, this boy was suffering from demonic oppression. How do I know if a sickness is demonic or not? Listen, some sicknesses are from the devil. Some sicknesses are just a result of the fact that we live in a fallen world. Okay, so every time somebody sneezes, don't throw holy water on them. Try to cast the devil out of them. Not all sickness and disease is demonic, okay? But some of them do come from evil spirits. So how do you know? How do you know if a sickness is spiritual in nature? And I'll tell you, okay? I'll give you a few examples, all right? There are times when Jesus healed people, okay? When you read the Bible, you see times when Jesus healed people. There are times when Jesus cast out a spirit of infirmity. Yeah. See, there are two different types. There are natural diseases and there are supernatural diseases. And how do we know the difference? Well, let me give you some examples. When medical science cannot diagnose the problem, that may be an indication that there is something supernatural going on. When the sickness does not respond to normal treatment, there may be a supernatural component to that. When the sickness brings unnecessary danger, it may be, and I'm not saying you can't go and diagnose and say, well, you got a devil. You've got to use discernment and wisdom. But we do know from the Word of God that some sickness is natural, some is supernatural. And with this little boy, his epilepsy was from an evil spirit. Why? Because he would have seizures when he was by the water or by the fire. Not a coincidence. It was the devil trying to take that young man's life. And this man's son needed deliverance, and this was a need that the disciples could not meet. Even though they were serving Jesus, even though they believed in him, they were not able to get a spiritual breakthrough and help this man's son. Previously, the same disciples had been sent out with the 72 with authority to heal the sick, cast out devils in his name. And when they went out, they did exactly as Jesus gave them power to do. They healed the sick and they cast out devils. But now they're met with a need that even they can't seem to fix. This man's son was violently tormented by a devil, yet nothing they did seemed to make a difference. There was an unmet need. So what was wrong with the disciples that they couldn't do this? Had they backslidden? Had they turned their backs on Jesus? Were they living in sin? Listen, we can't be too judgmental about those disciples, because I think we've all been in a situation like that where we're praying, we're serving God, we're doing the right things, we're doing all that we know to do, but there seems to be a breakthrough that we cannot reach in our lives. So 9 of the disciples were down there trying unsuccessfully to help this man's son when Jesus shows up with Peter, James, and John. They had just come from the mountaintop experience. They had just experienced the greatest moment of God's presence they had ever seen. They experienced the glory of God, and they had just left that wonderful experience when, bam, they're faced with the harsh realities of life. Have you ever been there? Have you ever had just a time of prayer and worship and the presence of God was so sweet, and then you walk right into a mess face to face with a problem? What do? You blame the devil. Right? The world blames God for things that he doesn't do, but as Christians, sometimes we do the opposite. We blame the devil for everything. Talking about the devil made my car blow up. No, dummy, you hadn't put oil in it in 5 years. Come on, devil this, devil that. Devil, 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 devil. It's the devil, right? We blame the devil for everything. I was worshiping God, and I was in his presence, minding my own business, and then I come out of that experience, and the devil just messes things up. Let me tell you a secret this morning. It might not be the devil. Why do you think God was drawing you into his presence? Why do you think you had that experience in your prayer time? Why do you think you had that encounter with the presence of God in the worship service? Listen, why do you think you had that mountaintop experience? I'll tell you why. Because God knew while you were up on the mountaintop that you were going to come down off of that mountain and there was going to be somebody with a problem. Amen. It's getting tough here today. I better hurry up. Just because you face some problems and some opposition doesn't mean that you aren't in the will of God and that God hasn't placed you where you are. Jesus was right in the middle of the will of God when he left the glory experience on the top of the mountain. He was still in the will of God when he walked down and faced that unmet need at the bottom of the mountain. Listen, if the devil was the one who sent the young man, the disciples, that poor devil's dumber than I thought he was. Listen, the devil didn't send that boy to distract the disciples, to mess up their day. He didn't send that young man to ruin their mountaintop experience. God brought him there so that the disciples could lead him to Jesus. Why? Because Jesus is the master of the unmet need. And if you have a situation in your life today and you have no answer, my friend, your hope is in Jesus. He is the master of unmet needs. Look at verse 18. It says, Jesus rebuked the demon and it came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. They brought him to Jesus, and what they couldn't do, Jesus did in an instant, took authority over the devil, and the little boy was set free. And immediately Jesus turned the situation around. The disciples had done all they knew to do, but Jesus steps in and the supernatural power begins to flow. That's a wonderful miracle that Jesus performed. But all the while, the disciples' minds were racing. You see, they no longer had an unmet need, but now they were left with an unanswered question. Amen. Look at verse 19. The disciples came to Jesus privately. Jesus, excuse me, can we have a word with you away from everybody? Can we have a timeout? Can we have a huddle, just us, you know, away from the crowds? They said, Jesus, why could we not cast it out? See, the disciples couldn't figure it out. They had cast out devils before. They had healed people before. But why wasn't it working this time? Jesus did what they had been able to do. And the whole time they were asking themselves, why couldn't I do that? So they said, Lord, we tried everything we know. We prayed just like you pray. And we prayed and nothing happened. So we prayed louder and nothing still happened. And where do we go wrong? They had an unanswered question, but Jesus gave them an unexpected answer. He said in verse 20, because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you'll say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. And nothing will be impossible for you. However, This kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. Look at that. Listen, if you have a little bit of faith in God, you can move mountains. But there are some things that only go by prayer and by fasting. There are some needs that are especially great. There are some obstacles that are seemingly more difficult and deep-rooted than others. There are some problems that require a specific type of breakthrough. These are spiritual problems that are spiritually discerned, and they require spiritual power to break them. And Jesus says that there is a way to obtain the spiritual power needed to break through such needs. And here's the whole point of my message to you today. Prayer and fasting releases supernatural power. Things happen when you fast and pray that would not happen by any other means. Sins that have gripped your life for years, they bound you and tormented you with guilt, are going to be broken through this season of fasting and prayer. When you fast and pray, it releases supernatural power. When Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, he went into a long season of fasting and prayer. In fact, he fasted and prayed for 40 days. The Bible says that when he came back from that prayer and fasting, that he returned in the power of the Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit had already come upon Jesus. He had already been baptized, and the Holy Spirit descended like a dove upon him. But there was clearly a new level, a new dimension of the Spirit of God that was released through his time of fasting and prayer, because he came back in the Spirit. Prayer and fasting releases supernatural power. I think about Yoido Full Gospel Fellowship. It's one of our sister churches in Seoul, South Korea. It's the largest church in the world, more than 1 million members. Some people say it may even be the largest church in history. I don't know, but Dr. Cho is the pastor there. And in his ministry, did you know that they don't do any counseling? Church of more than 1 million people, and they don't do counseling. This is what they do. You come to the church for counseling. This is what Dr. Cho says. He said, go up on the mountain and fast and pray for 3 days. That's their counseling program. Amen. You go up on the mountain and you fast and pray and get alone with God and just you seek his face like never before. That's where breakthrough comes. Listen, fasting and prayer takes your relationship with God to a whole new level. And I want to ask the musicians to go ahead and come. We're almost done this morning. We're almost finished. But I'm excited about this season of fasting, because fasting always brings us closer to him. Church, your relationship with God is going to be revolutionized this week as you fast and pray and seek the Lord. It will take a relationship with God to a whole new level. But maybe you're here this morning and you don't have a relationship with God. Maybe you don't know God in a personal way. Maybe you used to know God and you've fallen away from him. Listen, today, this morning, you have a chance at a new beginning. This is your day for a second chance. And I love the gospel. The gospel is so simple, so beautiful. It's as easy as ABC. A, admit that you're a sinner. B, believe that Jesus can save you. And C, commit your life to follow him. It's as simple as that. Admit that you need help. Listen, admitting you're a sinner, that shouldn't be a difficult thing, because we've all sinned. Every one of us, we've all made mistakes. We've all messed up. The Bible says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We all need Jesus. B, believe that Jesus can save you. Listen, that's what Jesus came to do. He came from heaven to earth so we could go from earth to heaven. He came to save us, to rescue us, to set us free from our sins. The Bible says that Jesus will never turn anybody away. Whosoever will, let him drink freely of the water of life. Jesus will receive all who come to him with a repentant heart. And on this first Sunday of 2018, I believe that it's somebody's day of decision. This is somebody's moment to give your life fully to Jesus. Will you pray with me for just a moment? Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for your presence with us. God, I thank you, Lord, that you love everybody. The Bible says that you so loved the world that you gave your only Son, And whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. Lord, I thank you for your love that is an unconditional love. Lord, you love us so wonderfully, God. Well, so many times in our human limitations, we love people when they're at their best. But Lord, you loved us when we were at our very worst. You still loved us. You said in your word that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Lord, I thank you for your wonderful love. And God, I pray for those who don't know you this morning, those who maybe they've never had a relationship with you, Lord, or those who have fallen away from their faith. Lord, I pray for them this morning, God, that today would be their day of decision, their moment of salvation. God, I thank you that you love them. Lord, that they're not here by accident or by mistake, but Lord, they're listening right now because you have a plan and a purpose for their life. You came to set them free from their sins, to give them hope and peace and joy and eternal life. Lord, I thank you for it in the mighty name of Jesus. I want to lead you in a simple prayer, and I ask everybody here today, if you'll pray this prayer with me. Dear Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. Be the Lord of my life. Jesus, I want to know you. I want to walk with you. I want to talk with you. I want to serve you. I want to tell others about you. And Jesus, with your help, I'll live for you the rest of my life. In Jesus' name. Listen up.